Welcome to the Healing Grove Podcast. I'm Dr. Kristen Ryman, an integrative holistic family physician, author of Life After Lyme, and host in this virtual space of learning, healing, and growing. I believe humans are like trees, and our physical limb is only one of many. Health on all limbs of the tree, emotional, conceptual, social, spiritual, is absolutely required for the whole tree that is you to be vibrantly well. I created the Healing Grove Podcast as a place to showcase some of the world's best integrative and holistic medicine, to expose you to transformative tools and mindset shifts for all limbs of your tree. I hope you enjoy our conversation in the Healing Grove today as much as I enjoyed having it. Welcome, my friend. I'm so excited to introduce you today to this community of healing and healing seekers. Everyone, this is my dear friend, Cristina Maria Rojas Fernandez. And I'm not going to give you a straight bio for her because she's so many things. What instead I'm going to do is explain how I met this amazing human. So I have an Airbnb, which is also my former home, and we have a wellness center there, and my office is there. And Airbnb has been very interesting. It really kind of selects the perfect people to come live in this wacky wellness center slash community hub slash my office. And about 4 years ago, so like 2018, I think, 2017, 18, I got a request on Airbnb for a long-term stay from a family, a woman with her daughter and her mother. And that woman turned out to be Aurelis Martin. Yeah. And she had a background in shamanism and leading ceremonies in plant medicine. And during the course of her stay, she led several things there with her partner in crime, her partner in mystery and magic, Cristina Maria. And Cristina Maria became a quasi-permanent fixture in that space while Aurelis was there. Yeah. And so it was this amazing year of these fabulous women living in the Airbnb slash wellness center. And I ended up doing a ceremony with them, which was transformative and totally incredible. So it's hard for me to sort of introduce you without saying, you know, there's sort of this ineffable thing that happened and that you were during that year for me. And I'm just so grateful that you agreed to come speak to my audience because you have so many different tools and gifts and just such a healing, beautiful presence. And I'm grateful.
Thank you so much, Kristen. It's really beautiful and divine timing to be here. And I remember that year joyously, as well as really wondrously, the land and the people and the space and the home and your presence and your family really guided us so brilliantly through that process, because it was big. It was big offering the ceremonies there and bringing all these many medicines and ideas and energies together in this one place that was already so bustling with healing. So we really appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, listen, why don't you give us a little bit of your background? Because, you know, I wouldn't have guessed this just sort of meeting you in that context, but you're actually a clinical social worker. And you have, you know, you have this one foot in traditional medicine and healing and healthcare. And then this other foot in sort of the curandera spirit world. And I feel really fortunate to have been able to experience that other half. But I'd love to hear you talk about kind of how you navigate those two things and bridge those worlds and what brought you to where you are today.
Wow, that's a real dynamic story. I remember very clearly I was already deep in working in the medical fields and in healthcare and in clinical social work. And I was closing up my time in psychiatry, community psychiatry in New York. And this was one of my last stages. I had said, I really need this psych. I really need to understand psychiatry from a psychiatric perspective, as well from a clinical perspective and from people. And I had always done community work. So it was very natural for me to go into community medicine. I had always been in the homes with people. I had always been with families. I had always been in neighborhoods that maybe weren't receiving the attention that they really deserved and were really in need of resources and services, especially people who spoke multiple languages and were able to connect on multiple planes of existence for families and children. And so I went into in-home psychiatry in the Bronx, and I started working in the homes with people who were considered significantly down the line with whether it was psychiatric manifestations that we understand as schizophrenia, or what we understand as bipolar, whatever term, it was chronic. And they had had significant amount of time in and out of state hospitals, or they were constantly rapidly entering and exiting in and out of public hospitals for psychiatric visits. And so our purpose as the team was to help them not do that. But there was a catch-22 there, because it was all around medication compliance. And it was all around, you know, pretty strongly recommended medication compliance. And there started to be a real disconnect. We started to really see the pitfalls in the system that was moving this way. And we started to see how far it was getting the human from their self and deeper into their chronic manifestations. So we as a team started to really feel the people's existence and burden in the system. I had already been promoted to a program leader, so I was already moving up the chain, so I was already doing all this wellness. And then I got this hurrah that I had to leave the system, that I was burnt out. And I was, the reason I noticed my burnt out was not because of the system. I was already feeling this edge with the system, but I started to see it with the clients. It was my first time that I had strong responses to clients. I mean, I had been in some precarious situation with clients, from dangerous to shootouts in the front, to walking into buildings that had no light, to really shady stuff happening, but never did I feel such animosity or apathy towards clients, ever. It was not something that really existed for me. If you know my medicine name, Hummingbird Medicine, that later came about, we really don't go there with people. We really do it more on a system, and it's not really a part of our feature. But I was so angry, like anger, and it was starting to hurt me. And I said, oh my goodness, I'm angry at the clients, but I'm really angry at the system.
Yeah.
I'm really angry at what the system is doing to people, and people who believe that this is all they have. And every time they say, this is not what I need. I really need to be trusted. I need to be in a way, I need to do this with my medication. Like, there wasn't room for that, and it wasn't supporting it. So I got this real clear inclination to start working with plant medicine here. My girlfriend at the time had just come back from the jungle, and she had just been bringing this medicine. And I was very deep in the medical model. I was deep in dual diagnosis. I was deep in comorbidities, all the words. And so then I started to work with plant medicine, and not only leave the system, but walk towards my soul. I didn't really understand what that meant. I didn't really understand what it was calling me towards. And so I decided to take a sabbatical. I left the psychiatric system, and I left this psychiatric model, and I went into the jungle, and I took a sabbatical for 16 months. And I started in my family's homeland of Cuba, and I closed out in Guatemala, which I stayed there for a while. But through that, I traveled through Central America over land to get to Peru to work with plant medicine there, and then to come back around. And little by little in those places, while learning systems that had already been infiltrated by the Western medical model, and how they were almost fighting to survive in their more traditional routes, but they were constantly getting stopped. So I really had this Western view, plus being Latina, spoke the language fluently. So I started to really integrate and really understand more of this, not necessarily tribal sense like we have, but like this country, like Guatemala, that was heavily influenced by Western medicine, but with all these wisdoms that weren't being able to be seen because they were heavily told that it wasn't worthwhile. And I was in shock, because here we have this precious land, these wise people that knew so much. And I'm sitting in the middle like, oh my goodness, like psychiatry has really made a mess of things. And I was so grateful to leave. And I was so grateful to find this part. And then I got very connected to spirit medicine in that way. And where I started to have clear interaction with the invisible world while I was there. And then when I returned in my 16 months, I was in shock. I needed a good 6 months of integration. I didn't even want to hold the phone. I didn't want to get back involved in this, what I call the rat race. And I was pretty afraid. And so it took me a while to just return and say, oh my goodness, am I back in this medical model? And what am I doing? Like, if I enter it, is it going to strip my soul again? Because I just really reclaimed my soul. And it wasn't an easy reclaiming. It wasn't an easy return, but the ancestors were so loud and so vivid in my cellular experience that it was undeniable. So when I came back, that was 2014. When I came back, I slowly returned to in-home therapy and I slowly returned to working with children. And then I went on the path of serving medicine. And in there, I had some private practice experience, New Jersey, the Bronx, Manhattan. So I went back into the places to really get a bigger view of what I had already received and see through that lens to this model. And so I started to dabble like a good hummingbird and see what was happening. And then I went on the path of the medicine completely. And the medicine said, you have to go back. We need you there. We need you in this traditional space. And I get so, because it was so clear, I'm sitting in ceremony, I'm laying out, just had quite the works, and spirit's like, okay, you ready to go back into social work? And I'm like, ah, no, why? I'm so happy here. And it was like, well, we need you on that side and we need this to be integrated. And I didn't realize it now. I mean, almost 10 years later, right? Everybody's talking about integration, all this way that we talk to ourselves, all these powerful spirits, and it's like commonplace. So it brought me back, and then I went into group practice again slowly, and now I've landed into a very integrated position where I do still do a lot of spirit work on group offerings, and I've integrated that into my clinical practice. And this group practice that I'm part of now in Hoboken, New Jersey, that has really afforded me the opportunity to bring it all together. I hope that really landed that path.
Oh my God. Well, it's such a rich story, and I have like 500 questions about details along the way. Let's start with this one. Let's go back to when you were on that first visit to Latin America and moving through Guatemala and kind of sensing this infiltration of Western medicine and Western psychiatry. What did that look like? Give me an example of kind of how you saw that.
Oh my goodness. I saw it by the way of people really turning to, like, so I had just regular wisdoms. I mean, like commonplace wisdoms. We used in my family, we used chamomile for a belly. We used linden, which we call tilo, for an upset stomach or for not feeling well or just needing to calm our spirits because we were so high, or, you know, calmante, we call it. And over there, they were turning to pills and they were going towards them. And there was the abuelitas who I was with who were like, oh no, we'll just do this tea. And I was like, yeah, can I have the tea? I don't really want the pill. Like, I could do that in my house and I haven't done it in a long time. And they were like, oh, you don't do that? And I'm like, no, I mean, I haven't done that. While I live in the US, yeah, we have access to it. But, you know, and growing up, I had very chronic menstrual experiences, like really deep and rough. So I learned throughout the way and I grew throughout the way, especially when I entered the wise woman tradition, when I returned, on how to really join with my womb in a way that was embracing her and my process, which this model here does not do. They shred that. And so there, when I was having these pronounced experiences, they turned me to that. And instead we were able to then find the way back to the herbals. And so I saw what a disconnect was. And through my fierce and fiery, I'm not gonna do it, kind of like, you know, and I shall say privileged Western woman, I said no. And that brought like an illumination of like, okay, this crazy Cuban, like they called me, is say no. And then I really saw just how much we had really kind of tried to stifle them. And I mean, then I saw it in other ways, but that was more the medical perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about how you feel things have changed and there is more integration. I agree. People are talking about it and that word is sort of a buzzword, integrative. And often to me, it falls short of what I would really like to see. What have you been able to do and bring in your social worker role that is really different than what, you know, the typical social worker might be doing?
You know, one of the things that I often talk about when we're ready or sometimes not is the psyche and how that is really the pair to the soul. And how that aspect that we've always understood and that Jungian tried to bring forth is really that part of us that is so infinite and asking us to see all of our aspects. So when we are here in this human realm on this 3D, whatever plane we want to call it, because it has so many names, I agree. How are we fully integrating all of our aspects, whether it's from our past, whether it's our past lives, whether it's parallel lives, to what we're hearing in ourselves, which is often our ancestral line. And that line doesn't necessarily look like the line we were born through, but that larger line, whether it's the tree spirits you connect to, whether it's the cosmic beings, whether it's the Orishas from the Yoruba line, whether it's the African line of Palo, whether it's Vuru, whether it's the Celtic line of the Fae. Really, what are we connecting to? So I'm really able to bring that into the room and bring it into the now. So if I'm hearing a lot of undesirable self-talk, and I'm hearing this critical mind come in, then we often return back to that being that lives in you that came probably through an adult in your life, and where that came through and how it was passed through your line and how it's landed here. And because you are with me here, we have now already shifted the course of things. Already. We've already shifted the course of things. And that's what the youth do. That's the power of the youth. The youth have already shifted the course of things. They need the eldership leadership to guide, but they need to be reminded that that is their power. They're bringing in the new with the guidance of the old, right? So when a person comes to me, they are like the youth. And I am like the elder in that room. And so helping them recognize that you aren't your mother, but that part of your mother does live in you, and that part of her mother lives in her, and the matriarch that has come from a lot of pain and hurt is flowing through you, so it can shift here and stop here. Did that?
Yeah. I mean, I think what you're talking about is so relevant, because I think we all, even if we're not feeling flustered or overwhelmed or confused by it, we're always carrying all these parts and all these influences. I like to think of them as inherited rule sets sometimes. I mean, you're sort of calling it a spirit, and that may be also more accurate, but the idea that we have to live in the way our parents lived is kind of this automatic, I think, inherited rule set that we get. And disabusing ourselves of that notion is a powerful step in the direction of, you know, autonomy and evolution and becoming who we're really here to become.
I really appreciate that you said that, because one of the things I, as part of the group practice that I'm a part of, it's Be Well Psychotherapy Practice, we do reels. And one of the reels I shared was like, why do you come to therapy? Why do you come to sit in the room? And many times it's for many reasons, but also just because you want to do more for you. It's not, you don't have to be confused, you don't have to be ill, you can actually be super satisfied in all of your existence, but there is an inkling in your cellular wall, and this is what we do, right? Like, this is one of the things that I have been guided to bring people closer to their cellular knowing, and that part of what is true, because you can be great, everything could be, as I like to call it, hunky-dory, but there is a feeling, that there's something there, so we come into the room to uncover that, to then see these inherited, and I love that, these inherited patterns or passed down understandings that are getting in the way and that are really stopping that, what I've learned through spirit, and that was affirmed to me as a child, that we are divine and that we all have that ability to be of that kind, and that society has shifted those ideas to further create confusion. So we come right back to that knowing, so that it expands and broadens your perspective. So you're not just seeing your mundane existence, but that greater ego's eye view of like, whoa, this is what we are doing here.
Yeah. Do you have a tool for people who are in the moment with you, sitting in your room, and just, you can tell there's so much fog and fear and other people's stuff that's kind of confusing them, that you can talk them out of that? I mean, what's this sort of pathway for people who are repeatedly finding themselves in that space?
You know, one of the things that I find that all humans and people, no matter, I mean, especially on this realm, right, is the idea of presence and being in the moment with all the cloudiness, whether it's too much sun shining through your door or you just had a very active sleep. So it's really being in the body. I find that that's something, and that's idea that we call stillness now, but it's really the presence and being in all your aspects. So if I do have a very heavy mind, or if I do have very active legs, how can I still be here? How can I bring it in and integrate it into all of my being and recognize that my power is actually internally? And so we often come back into breath, and we often come back into our feet, literally, and understand that they are a connection to the divine ground that we are on, and that our length and that our opening. I've had people stop chest pain in session from just opening up and sitting tall and allowing themselves to know that breathing is safe. Breathing is safe. It is safe to pause into your breath and come into that, and we'll stay together. And so we create that container of safety by saying, we're just going to breathe and sit long and remember, and coming from your belly up into your being through that root source that carries you here into your expansion, into your trunk, into your now. So we really remind them that breathing is safe and that it is your best friend.
Well, I feel 1,000 times better just from the last 2 minutes of hearing you talk. And I just want to, for people who weren't in ceremony the day and night I sat in ceremony with you, I just want to let them know that one of the things I love about you, Christina Maria, is that you're so expansive and you have so many parts and you're so facile with how you can pull them in and move them around. And I can sit here and feel like I'm in a white room with a bright light and colorful being that you are, and getting completely grounded with this practice. But I'm also like flashing back to like watching you sing for an entire night, you know, with a drum, and just thinking, oh my goodness, these women are just so powerfully present and intentional. And I felt like being in ceremony with you, similarly to just now, what I felt was, I felt like you were coaxing in me, like bringing me into the space. And I just want to thank you for that.
I really appreciate that aspect, because the medicine is so much about bringing the soul closer, and bringing us closer to our soul. And a lot of the work that we do in spirit medicine ways with is a path that just came to be through all of this work. And now that's evolving into other branches of the big tree, is that the soul is so ready to heal, and so ready to be present, and so ready to be whole in the existence of the mind and the body. The spirit's always there. I tell people, I'm like, hey, your spirit's there. We did a joke the other day, and I said, okay, we're gonna do a video on the spirits. And the spirits are like, hey, you see in my human left. Hey, I flashed the light on them. I can't, ¿dónde está mi ser humano? Yo lo perdí, yo no sé dónde está. I lost my human again. Where are they? The joke is that the spirit's waiting for you, and the human's running around. They're like, they're down there doing that thing again, running. Can someone just bring my human? Hey, I'm on the human lost line. Anybody? And so like, it's not, it's us. And so if we remember that we really have that divine quality, and I'm sometimes a little shy of using that word because it's been so puttered through the mud, but I want to revive it, and it's truth, because that is our truth. And I'd be remiss of my abuela telling me, hummingbirds do that, so stay steady, okay? And I'll be like, okay, let me just fly backwards now and get some sap here, because it's getting a little hot over here, so let me move on to this flower that's a little bit more in the shade. But I appreciate that so much, because that is your true cellular known. That is that word of integration that we've used so buzzy now, but it is your true cellular being, and your knowing that is what this world is asking for.
Yeah. So now that you have been able to bring some of these other gifts and these tools that really bring people into their authentic selves within the white walls of the clinical world that you and I both know what that looks like. What is your, I mean, where are you with the burnout and the antagonism and all that? Like, has that completely gone away or is that still flicker around from time to time? Or,
you know, I think it shows up more in an external context, not necessarily in my work. It shows up more as because I'm really grateful that I'm part of a group practice right now that really, really is expanding on these ideas and trust so much of this, as my dad would say, el oculto, el oculto. You say el oculto. I'm like, daddy, okay, gotcha, dad. You know the mystics, okay? This mystical world that's been so decharmed has allowed me to really be like, yes, bring it all, we trust you. So I feel really held there, and I feel very held in the communities that are showing up and saying, yes, we want this. Yes, we want it in the everyday existence. And yes, I can feel it. So the apathy or the, I shared it on one of my videos, the anger that can sometimes come through and that old rage really comes through the way that we're being funneled and infiltrated with messaging that clouds your knowing. And that's one of the things that we do so deeply in our work, is that we bring such a sense of understanding to the self, whether it be by psychotherapy, whether it be by spirit medicine ceremonies, whether it be by small groups, whether it be by coursework. The intention is always laid out so that you always the leaderess or leader of your existence, and you won't get infiltrated because the messaging is so powerful now. And it's everything. I can affirm anything I want. Nowadays, I can affirm anything. I can affirm any truth. I can affirm any idea. So what is it? It's what your soul says. It's what your spirit says. And if we know those things, the world can be whatever it is, but that will never lose you. That will always keep you right, clearly path. I mean, you're going to go in the labyrinth because that's the way of spirit, but you'll always stay clear and grounded.
Mm-hmm. So even the chaotic times can be less chaotic. They can still be, you can still have your, you know, your wits about you and your feet on the ground and know who you are and know that it will pass. So easing that transition and that path for people. So I'm guessing you're not serving medicine in the clinic.
I am not in the clinic.
You have patients though, who you see in clinic who also come to ceremony with you?
I have patients definitely in both ends that are requesting it. So that's showing itself now that are really ready to go into that route. So yes, I do have a dual experience that is even more quickly growing now and requiring attention.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's, there's a lot of interest actually from the psychiatric community, which I find exciting and fascinating. And
I love it.
I have a little bit of concern about it. I don't want it to be co-opted and I don't want it to be kind of, you know, sterilized. What are your thoughts about how that's going and sort of what the future holds for indigenous plant medicine and ceremony and psychiatry?
You know, I really appreciate that because I'm part of clinical groups that support these fields or that often talk about it. And one of the concerns that I've always had is that it's going to be co-opted or colonialized and colonized and re-watered down. And so that's why I work very closely with ICEERS to support the indigenous knowing and understanding being leading the way, and people coming together and retaining the essence of the medicine. I think that that's one of the largest reasons that Spirit was like, get out of here and go back to clinical social work, because there is an understanding that this wholeness must exist, and we need that to be really clearly ushered along the way so that it doesn't get lost or it doesn't become a pharmaceutical. Like, I've heard really bizarre things. So I appreciate the medicine by way of what I call spirit really leading. And so the more of us that are connected to understanding that that spirit is leading the way, that then that's what we will see moving this. It may still go another aspect, but that will be the divine path for us to get to the greatest, the highest light, or to our next place of evolution. So I'm very much on the spirit team and on the earth spirit team, and bringing that. That's why if we get closer to that part of ourselves, then we won't get so easily strayed upon that system that likes to extract, the system of extraction that likes to do that, and that is more consumed with power and possession. That won't happen. That will happen less if we can really bring people closer to that cellular knowing.
And how do we do that? What's your grand plan for making that happen?
So let's get that grand plan here. People got the football game. Okay, we're gonna run down, we're gonna score a touchdown. I love it. I love it. You know, the more of us that are doing this work, like you, Kristen, and I wanna say that this podcast and what you put forth here and all the people you bring together is illuminating that light. And it's bringing all the light from all the ways into the ley lines so that we can continue to reverberate in the ground. And this type of work is so important. And medical professionals like you that are saying, we got to rethink this. And I've done it all this way, but now I'm hearing, we got to go this route. So that brings a lot of credibility to the shift. So those of us that are really bringing it in, we've done all the letters, we've done all the licenses. Now we're saying, hey, look who's been leading the ship. Let's follow that path of health and wellness in a way that is beyond these systems that have done this and are trying to take over. Also, the more that people stand in their authentic understanding and can really, really access that, and believe that it is attainable. Like there's a belief sometimes that it's not attainable, so we kind of stay with the knowns that repeat the rat race or create the apathy or ignite the rage. Instead, we go back to there is an authentic divine reflection in you and presence that is actually accessible, and it doesn't have to be those words. I often change the words in my practice so that people can really, really align, and they do. Almost instantly. It's really fascinating.
Yeah. Well, it's a truth that I think does live in ourselves and just needs to be reminded from time to time that it's there. I mean, that reminds me of what happened for me sitting in ceremony. A lot of things happened, but one of the things that was so beautiful and powerful, I might cry talking about it actually, was that I've always believed that and known that people are good and that people are divine and that we all have this beauty inside. And sometimes it takes a lot of work to get there kind of conceptually on a day-to-day basis. But sitting in ceremony and looking around the room at a lot of people who were strangers to me, you know, at the beginning of the night, and feeling in my heart so much love for everyone in the space and seeing everyone's divinity, including my own, I knew in my cells, in my bones, in every aspect of me that that is true. And that was the biggest gift for me of that night, was that not just reminder, but like unconditional knowing. Like you can't go back from seeing that and feeling that. So that was a powerful moment.
And I appreciate you saying that, because that's why we serve the medicine. It's the vine of the soul for many reasons, but because when that hits, you can't turn around. And that's one of the things that I recognize, that, you know, this is why I appreciate this podcast and social media in its own ways, because the more that we put out that message is the more that people will say, wow, that is real. And I will not be afraid to access that, because when I do access that, I really can't take sides. I'm only on the human path.
Right.
I'm only on the path of, we're all in it. I'm only on the path of, wow, we are really divine. Oh, there's really not a split. Oh my goodness, there are really not all these things. All these colors are diversity of the earth. It starts to get, and look, and as I move back, because people do, they're like, and so this is where that beautiful deity, Jemaya, which I'm sure she showed up there, comes and embraces you and says, we are all the children. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. Come close. And opens up and holds us. And then you're like, whoa, this is my mother of my mothers of my mothers and my sisters of my brothers. And whoa. And that is the medicine, knowing that. And it can be really scary after that movement of scary. And I like to honor that because I often have my beautiful people on the side. They're like, oh, you live in this bliss world. I'm like, no, I live in a very real world. I'm with the people every day. And it is scary. When you jump off that little leap and you're like, whoa, this is actually liberating, it's no longer fear, it's a real steadiness.
Yeah. So I wonder if we should say some specifics about the plant medicine you use and the ceremonies you run and give us a little bit of a common language. A lot of people are, intrigued or afraid maybe, but curious, right? And maybe break it down for us a little bit.
One, I welcome all the psychiatrists, please. I welcome the psychiatric field right here. We love you. This medicine is a spirit medicine that I work with ayahuasca and cambo and hapé and sananga, and it's a medicine that really opens us to our knowing and our existence and really orders our understanding of the self. So it really brings us together by way of all of our aspects. So, some of us go through what we understand on this plane as depression. Some of us go through anxiety, can't focus. I mean, I can go through all the names, right? So the medicine brings us to the core places of these disturbances, our disruptions in our person, to then illuminate them by way of the light. And that's where it's so important, where the guide is really bringing forth the light, because they go with you there. Like, they're with you in the darkest place to illuminate the light so that you stay steady in that very large experience. And it really allows you to come in with the next breath. And that's why we do so much work on understanding our process, not necessarily naming, like, oh, this was that sign and this is that sign, but bringing an understanding to your assimilation of it. It's like I tell people all the time, right? When I eat something, it goes through my trachea, it goes into my gut, it opens up into my enzymes, and then it finds its way through. Well, that's a process of integration. We're assimilating it into the cells. And this medicine, in small amounts or large amounts, always creates a sense of growth and of learning, even if it's very silent, even if it doesn't feel pronounced, because we have these ideas like, I'm gonna have this journey and it's gonna be this great thing and it's gonna be, I'm gonna, and all these ideas sometimes can distract us. So I tell people to come in, there's always something happening. And that's what we're learning, those subtleties in the invisible world. And that's what this medicine does best. It brings us to the subtlety of the invisible world by way of connecting me deeper to myself, to my person, to my being, to my wholeness. I hope that answered your question.
I mean, it's a great start. There's just so, as I'm thinking about what actually happened, and you ran, there were several ceremonies. I went to one, right? How many did you guys end up doing? That's probably.
Probably in the house, we did anywhere from 5 to 10.
So I do think that year the Lehigh Valley was a lot lighter. Like there was a lot more kind of elevation of thought. And a lot of people who found out about the ceremonies after you left were like, oh, I wish I'd known. I wish I'd known, which tells me that you have to come back, I think. And yeah, it was, I think the house really liked it.
The house, it was really beautiful. The way that it was, again, so, and I'm looking for another word, that it was so, every part, it had the part of easily accessing. It had the part of the thought, and it had the part of the cognitive, and it had the part of working through the ideas from a more mind perspective. But it had that ancient holding there of the spirits and the beings in the house. You can feel the columns. You can feel the wood. I feel wood a lot, as I'm sure you do, Miss Kristen. And when you would step out into the beautiful land, it was like stepping out into your backyard and into the forest, which is so important. And this medicine works so well. You know, I know a lot of people will say, come to my house in Brooklyn, come to this space over here. I am by no way against that. But the way the medicine has spoken to me is like, bring us close to the green, because that part will hold them and they will take it with them. And this is the natural environment of the medicine. So if we can get them even a little bit closer, which your home was all those things, as you know, we're very excited to flow back over. It really allows them to always resonate that peace in the concrete world, in the world that doesn't seem as green, or in the world that is more of the cognitive, that can get very heavy. Like I call it, the mind is often the hayoka. So if it has that grounding space in your cells, then it's harder to get disconnected. It always stays more together, more aligned.
So I, like I said, a lot of people came to me afterwards and said, I wish I'd known that, you know, you were hosting those at Trout Creek. And I think some people would like to learn more and, you know, lean into their own further on their path, you know, learning more about how to become their authentic selves. What are some next steps people could be taking in the direction of any of that?
So when you say next steps, meaning like tools, or where can they get more information, or?
Yeah, more information, and then even experiences with ayahuasca.
So more information, please follow Spirit Medicine Ways. We do a lot of talks on it. And Spirit Medicine Ways has a very old YouTube channel that's getting revamped into Cristina Maria at Life. So it's kind of happening together. But I have talks there on the medicine. I have talks on what it is. I have talks on the Sananga, and I have talks on Hape, and I have talks on Kambo, on ayahuasca, and then I have talks about street medicine, because they've taken this Western model, has taken coca and made it something really bad. And I give that example because that's the one that's most relatable to people. Because as soon as I'm like, oh, I had a coca tea. Actually, I was in this beautiful, I was a supporter. I was a tea house mama in the Moon Dance recently, the first one in New York. So, first New York Moon Dance. This is huge for our line of women dancing by the moon and praying for our earth and bringing the vibration. And one of the teas we served was with coca. And coca brings such a steadiness. And when I shared it with family or friends, they're like, oh, cocaine. I'm like, okay, no. Okay, this first one, let's come back in, please. Bring you back. Not the same intention, and not the medicine. This is not the medicine, okay? So really bringing information on the purity we have on Spirit Medicine Ways. Also on Cristina Maria HBM and Instagram, I do a lot of, and I'm ramping them up, a lot of more videos, and we're starting a YouTube channel to bring out more information. iSeers is another great community that advances the natural indigenous traditional ways of all the medicines and of all the plants. And Trakuna Institute is another solid source that really supports us. And the more integrated version, which is a little bit more the clinical, but they're really working with these two beings alike, is the Center for Optimal Living in New York.
Thank you for sharing those. Another question I often get is, well, I don't know, you know, maybe in my area, I live in California or I live in Colorado and I'm looking for someone who leads ceremonies. How do I know who to trust? Like, are they all trustworthy? Am I safe? You know, people have a lot of concerns about,
sure,
they haven't experienced before. What would you say to that?
You know, I always say jokingly, watch who you drink the Kool-Aid from, my friends. Okay. Be sure you're aware of. So I really think that this is why that work of knowing your presence and knowing your understanding will guide you. Like, this internal meter is very real. Because and there's a verse in the Bible, if I'm led to it, then it'll see me through it, right? Something along those lines. So if my my soul takes me to a place and I will know that whatever it is comes through there, I will be able to assimilate it because that was in my divine order. So it is very hard, and it is very hard to understand. This is where intuitive knowing is so important, because there isn't a list of like who's trustworthy or not. And sure, if that's your journey to walk through that path of the fire, then may it be in its highest form. I think it's also important to understand the language and what you're sensing from them. If they're really selling you the experience and making it so easy so that it's going to be this, I would really be aware of that, because this experience is so vast and it has such a dimensionality that it's not fair to put it in all. Yeah, it'll look like this and we'll do that and that's what it is. That's just not a fair statement. So if that comes up, I'd really be aware of that feeling as a meter to say, this feels more like bringing me in versus really allowing me to see if it really is working for me, if my intention is aligned with it.
Right. Those are great. Those are great tips. So if somebody wanted to work with you, you mentioned your Instagram channel and your soon to be live, ChristinaMaria.live website. What are the different ways people could work with you now?
So we're building some really good coursework, which will be coming out. Right now, presently, I'm part of that psychotherapy practice in Hoboken, Be Well, which is a great way to get in the door to understand and just even bring in these understandings and do integrative work, more of a whole work. And I even said it whole, as in whole, the whole work, right? Like to bring us in. And through group offerings, which I will be putting forth more in the future. And it's not something that's so public, but like in places like this, where medicine will be coming out in a place that we can really do more similar to how we did with you, where it's more condensed and we'll have more pre-support, things to post support, and then to bring it into the place where hopefully they'll stay with me in the room and we'll really carry it through. Those are the places. So coursework, ceremonies coming in soon, and in the room in my psychotherapy group practice that I'm a part of.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, this has been fabulous. And I'm, again, just so grateful to you for all that you do and all the work you're doing to be the bridge, that, you know, part of that bridge that needs to be there. Are there any last things that you'd like to share with this audience that someone who might never have an experience with ayahuasca still could really benefit from knowing that you've heard from your journey and your experience with plant medicines?
Yeah, I want to share these. I think there's something I wanted to get my phone because I wrote something and I want to share. I know this sounds, well, it may or may not, but it can often sound cliche, but I'm going to share the cliche because I was taught by spirit that this cliche is actually real. But, you know, I like to share the truth of the stuff, which is not everybody's truth, but I would like to share this. Possibilities are endless, and that means a lot of things. And that means so much. And if we remember that, then we will continue to grow and heal until our days come to a clear here. What I nourish and put energy towards will grow. That's so vital. If we can remember, and this is the simplicity of this, and these are bigger things, please come and talk to me. I would love to talk more about these little tidbits. Words, thoughts, beliefs are powerful, and they create our reality. So important. Like that simple thing that I know they've been telling us when we were kids, but now we're seeing it so vividly alive. We are each divine, of course, and we are each the creators and the creatrixes of our existence and our reality.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen. I really appreciate this from the depths and the expansiveness of my heart and my soul. This has been a real honor, and I'm so honored to walk with you, Hermana, in this way and to be a part of your healing grove, a luminous light, and be a part of the trees that are really growing us bright. Really grateful.
Healing is entirely mutual.
I love you very much, Amana.
I love you too. Have a good day.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Healing Grove podcast. If you liked it, please be sure to like and subscribe. And if you want to deepen your experience further, consider grabbing a copy of the Healing Grove Playbook. With journal prompts for this podcast and 41 others, it's the perfect place to record your learnings, keep track of the tools you explore, and reflect on your own experience. Finally, it's important to mention that even though I am a doctor, nothing you hear on this podcast, whether from myself or my guests, constitutes medical advice. Any intervention you try should always be discussed with and supervised by a trusted member of your own healing team. Thanks for listening, and see you next time in the Healing Grove.